If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, we're going through the book of Colossians this morning. If I could encourage you to take some notes this morning, we're in Colossians 2, verse 1 through 10. Christ alone, or the supremacy of Christ in continuing. Reading from the New King James Version. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him." Verse 7, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." May God bless to us the reading of his word. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, God, that it is a living word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, Father. Thank you, Lord, that your instruction through Paul for the church of Colossae is indeed your instruction today for us. That our mind would stay on you, God, that we would listen to you and you only. And we give you all the glory and the praise. Open your word to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, in writing the church of Colossae, calls attention to the fact that in this world we're always going to have people to tell us we're wrong. Especially in the world that we're living in now, Christianity is under attack at all fronts. We're told that we're believing something is archaic. We're in a post-modern Christian world. And so what God meant for the word to say 2,000 years ago has changed now because we're in a period of enlightenment. We're in an age of we know more than God now, see. God just kind of got us started and we have the knowledge, you know. We have the knowledge and the expertise to understand things. And Paul, in almost the Holy Spirit and jettisoning all the way to 2019, speaks to us very clearly. And like Colossae, those people in the church of Colossae or Colossians had never seen Paul. Paul was never there. He and Barnabas stayed in Ephesus for 3 years, birthed a church there, and this church that he wrote to in Colossae was a church plant. We've not seen Paul. We don't know about Paul, but the Holy Spirit through Paul is speaking to us today just as he spoke to the church in Colossians. This was written 28 years after Christ ascended into the heavenlies. Paul did not address them as beloved or brethren, choosing instead to speak of their faith and growth in Christ and his great love for them. How many know Jesus loves us so very much? All the motivation that we have is birthed and is cradled in the love that he has for us. How much patience he has for us. How he has that much patience for us dumb human beings, I don't know. We're about as dumb as a box of rocks. Come on, somebody. We're destroying the world around us. We have no idea what we're doing. Without Christ, we can do nothing. And it's proven in this nation that is falling apart at the seams. How many know we need revival?
Yeah.
It's not going to save the fabric of this nation, but it'll save the people of this nation.
Yeah.
We're watching the downfall of most kingdoms, not only here, but all over the world. And it's for a purpose and a reason, because the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ is what we're living for. His establishment.
Yes.
And we can't count on, you know, we're probably the first generation in history that doesn't know if there's going to be another generation. Come on, somebody. God is getting ready to come for His bride. So, Paul, in addressing the church at Colossians, he did not talk of their comfort, but rather their commitment and its importance, being committed to Him. Why? The lukewarm church of Laodicea, he addresses that in verse 1, was just minutes away from Colossae. The lukewarm church. He said, I wish you'd be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. So he did not talk about their comfort. So often we want to be comfortable. God, just make us, ease us into eternity. How many pray that kind of prayer? God, just, you know, just let things last long enough for me to get to eternity and let the next generation deal with what's coming. Anybody praying that prayer? Come on. Don't let me hang there. We want to be comfortable. We want everything just to go just right for us. And I'm here to tell you that's probably not going to be a prayer that's answered. We're going to see things. We already are seeing things that nobody's ever seen before. None of our relatives have seen what's happening in this nation. Just read this morning where there's a poll, 49% of adults believe President Trump should be impeached. That's almost half the nation. I don't know how true that poll is, but how many know there's? It's crazy. We've got one party in this nation. We're a two-party nation. We've got one party that believes we should be progressive and socialistic. Social type of government. Come on. We're in a crazy time. So we don't need comfort. We need to come to the ready line. And Paul addresses, he encourages. We need one another to provoke and challenge. He says, your hearts may be encouraged being knit together in love. If there is no growth, if there's no growth in the church, we have what we have now, boredom and conjecture and a false sense of security. But God speaks to the church in Colossians and our church right now to be encouraged and be knit together in love to steel us for what's coming. He says that we're to be knit together in love. The hearts of a local church must come together in a firm union. You must be willing, as people of new life and as people in this community, to insist in the oneness that God calls us to, staying current with one another. It's not time to fight each other. It's time to come in unity with each other. We're going to need that coming very soon. Come on, someone. No man's an island. We need each other. Where I stop, you start. And I certainly need you and you need me. Love doesn't hold a grudge or demand things, but it's the strongest tool that we have. Listen, he says, being together in verse 1, he says, being together, or verse 2, being together in, knit together in love. There must be a closeness because of meeting together and a oneness and vision and purpose. Stay tuned to what God is speaking to leadership and this church and this community, because God is not hiding. How many know God is not hiding in these moments in history? He's telling us very clearly, when men like Franklin Graham put an appeal out to pray, it's time to pray. So that that it can hold together long enough, because the whole thing is not to bring us back to a time where we remember where everything was simple. It's not to do that. We're not going backwards. God's not going to redo what is past. This is a new day. But we are asking God to hold things together so we can get people into His kingdom.
Amen.
And as people lose their hope that America is going to save us, or that some program is going to save us, for Pete's sakes, we've got almost half the nation that's looking for mom, dad, government to take care of them. Come on, somebody. And when that falls apart, because how can they take care of them when they can't take care of themselves? Anybody see the debt clock lately? Get on later and Google and just put debt clock and watch that puppy run. Come on, someone. We must have our hope that Christ is going to hold this thing together. We're praying for a revival, but it's not going to be like a revival in the past where, you know, two cars in every garage and all this prosperity. Like for that to happen. I don't see that happening. What I do see happening is people being rushed into the kingdom of God. Led to the kingdom. Paul says, knit together in love and attaining to all riches. Remember, attaining to all riches. Remember that God's intent is to give us what we need in abundance, not just enough. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I'm talking about miraculous things happening in the body of Christ. Listen, the same God that called us to His kingdom is the same God that fed 2.5 million people for 40 years. 900 railroad cars full of food every day for 40 years without anybody planting a seed. Without Walmart or Kroger. Come on, somebody. That's the God that we serve. That's what we need to believe for, is the miraculous. Paul says, knit together in love. Why? And believe for the attaining of all riches. And I'm not talking about money. If you need money or things to validate the standing you have with God, you have a wrong focus. It's not about money and things. God will take care of us because He's our God. He goes on to say, understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God. The eyes of our understanding, we prayed for the whole month of March. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Ephesians 1:18. Knowing who God is in His trying time. Knowing who He is, the knowledge of the mystery. What's the mystery? Christ in you. We're not looking for Christ again. I heard a song or something today about God coming down from somewhere. How many know God doesn't need to come down? He's already down.
Amen.
He lives in us.
Yes.
We're not asking God, if you got time, come down and straighten things out. He's living in us. He gave us authority to change things. Come on, somebody. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' love and righteousness.
Amen.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. See, our trust is not in the things of the world. They may be gone tomorrow. Someone said the future of warfare has nothing to do with bombs. It has everything to do with cyber attacks. How many know with one EMP attack, we would be thrust into medieval times just like that? Come on, somebody. Say, well, that's impossible. No, it's very possible. I'm not trying to scare you, just trying to prepare your heart. We've got to trust in God because God's going to show up in powerful ways. There'll be miracles galore happening. But it's not going to happen because this nation was great. It's going to happen because the kingdom that we serve, the God that we serve is great.
Amen.
See? Understanding with full assurance in what? In God. Not understanding in full assurance of a way of life, because this way of life might be gone tomorrow. But the kingdom of God is eternal. We are to trust only in God. John, a couple of weeks ago, John spoke about trusting him and him trusting us. I think that's fantastic. I started to think about that, pray about that. You know, God, we trust God even though we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. How many trust God? We don't know. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what God has set in store for us. We don't know. It's going to be something terrific. And we're just a vapor, so eternity is going to be a trip, man. I can't wait. I don't know what he's got in store for us, but I think we're going to travel all over. How many know the universe is a big place?
Yes.
I believe he's going to occupy the universe.
Amen.
My blessing, I'll get stuck on Mars or something like that. Come on, somebody. We don't know what God has in store for us, but we trust him. But wait a minute. God trusts us with his kingdom, and he knows everything about us. You realize what a terrific, full assurance in him? He already knows what we're going to do to mess up 20 years from now, should Jesus tarry. And he trusts us. I started to think about that, and I started to think, Jesus, you had Judas with you for 3.5 years, and you sent Judas out to minister. 2 by 2, sent to 12 out. Am I right? Sent to 70 out. He knew exactly what was going to happen with Judas, but yet he sent him out, trusted him. Well, that'll put a hole in your theology. God trusts us, full assurance of who he is. Paul, writing the Colossian church, knew that they were going to face persecution, knew that they were going to do things. We are asked to trust God, and he trusts us. Verse 3 says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God is the source of all our wisdom and all our knowledge.
Yes.
And it takes us back to the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man has proven that he can know much more than anyone could have imagined. And it's not a good thing. Man all of a sudden knows everything. It's amazing. If we were to raise somebody from the dead that lived 100 years ago, they wouldn't recognize the earth. They actually had to go to a library and pull books out. All we got to do is hit our little phone. Come on, somebody. Ask Siri anything. She's got the answer. If she doesn't, she'll give you a list about 1,000 hits that do. Come on, someone. It's almost scary to see where we've come knowledge-wise. But we've done it without the benefit of Christ, and that's dangerous. All wisdom and knowledge are seated in him. Man has proven that he can know much more. The knowledge of the world is like a poison, because it makes us independent of God. We don't need you, God. We've already got this information. We already know what we're doing. How many know that Jesus, the Son of God, said, I can do nothing unless he tells me? Man's knowledge without God's wisdom is destructive. We are asked not to walk or talk or act like this world. But yet we find that Christianity is more and more and more and more and more compromising with the world. Hey, smoke machines work at concerts. Let's buy a smoke machine for the church. Hey, rock and roll works for the world. Let's try rock and roll for the church. How's that working for us? We've seen the chipping away. But see, the tree of life, if we determine to filter all the knowledge and wisdom through the throne of God, will be light years ahead of the knowledge of the world. He's after relationship with us. In Him, Paul says, is all the wisdom and the knowledge. I love the word all. You know what all means in the Greek? All. It means all. Know Him. Know His ways. Every time you speak of Him, the body of Christ is strengthened. When you speak of Christ, when you pray to Him, when you honor Him, it's not just blessing you, it's blessing the entire body. Just like the oceans are filled with rivers and creeks and ponds, the body of Christ is blessed by you being here. Know Him. Know the wisdom and knowledge. Your prayers, words, and meditations are very important to the whole body. That's why Paul spent time writing to the church of Colossians in this fashion. And then he said in verse 4, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words." There are many that would lead astray and deceive. At the same time the kingdom of God is being built, the enemy is angry and would try to deceive us. Come on, someone. Compromise. All the word says this, but it really didn't mean it. I can't believe some of the things are coming out of seminaries. Taylor University. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. Vice President Pence spoke there, and there was over 3,000 signatures to get him not to speak there. Taylor University used to be one of the number one Christian universities in the nation. LGBTQ there is strong on that campus. Come on, somebody. Many would lead astray and deceive. Beware lest anyone has a private interpretation of a secret God told them. Man, that feels, still today, I'm surprised how many people, forget the guy's name, but he said that he prophesied that there was going to be a red wave in his last election. It was going to sweep the House and Senate. Everybody was going to be a Republican and have wings, you know. Thus saith God, he said, God specifically told him. How many know that didn't happen? He's still packing them out because he's got secrets to tell people. I don't think I'll count on you too much. You missed. Come on, somebody. And we've actually got people say, well, everybody's human. Who's a misguide? No, my Bible says if a prophet is wrong, not to listen to that prophet. He's not a prophet. Make a good shoe salesman, but he's not a good prophet. See, revelation is very real, but it must agree with the revealed will of God. God's not all of a sudden unpackaging in 2019 a new revelation that is not matching with His Word because somehow we've been enlightened enough to hear what God really meant. And people twist the Word of God. Paul writes Colossians and he says, in Him is all wisdom. Then he warns them about the pressures of persuasion. He's a master encourager. Though not able to be with them, he has a sense of their passion for the Lord. And he tells them, beware lest anyone try to persuade you. Be consistent. It builds faith. Stay in the Word as you have received Christ. Walk in Him, he says. Ask the Lord to renew the passion you had at the beginning. Don't let anyone steal your joy and your peace. Be very careful. Strain what you hear through the word of God. Be very careful. The deceivers out there are a dime a dozen, I'm telling you. They're all over the place. They say things that are not in the word to twist and deceive and to persuade the body of Christ into being inactive and ineffective in our world. Come on, someone. It's not old-fashioned to speak the word of God. The word of God is timeless. It's just as powerful as it was when it was written. I got a question for you this morning. You don't have to answer it. What is your walk like compared to when you first began this journey? Remember when you first got saved? Man, people would hurt you if they take the Lord's name in vain. Do you remember that? Man, I remember when I first got saved, I was working on the rigs. And you know, I got saved on an Easter Sunday, so we had a little bit of a break. My daughter was born, and I went back to the rigs, and my boss, every other word was GD or JC. And man, he come in and he started that tirade of words, and it felt like somebody was stabbing me in the heart. I had to leave. I had to go outside and say, God, please help me. Come on, someone. But you know, we need to get that back, be sensitive about the things of the Lord. People are going to talk, it's just an example. How many know we need to get the passion for Christ back? As you have received Christ, walk in Him. How did you receive Christ? Don't let anybody steal your joy and peace. He says, rooted and built up in Him. Storms are a part of life, but be rooted in Christ. I was out in Montana taking a walk out in the woods. I almost got lost. I was out in the wilderness. I don't have a very good sense of direction. It's a good thing they were downhill. I figured my buddy's house was downhill from where I was at, so I walked until I hit a road, and then I knew where I was at. But as I was there, I was kind of complaining to God about some of the things that's happened in my life the last couple of months. And, you know, He said very plainly to me, stop your complaining. You're still with me. Come on, somebody. We got God, we got everything. Rooted in Him. After all the attacks, I found out I'm still here. Amen. Jesus said the winds come, the rains fall, but he who is built on the rock is still standing when the winds and the rain stop. He is built on the sand is seen no more. Come on, somebody. Testings and trials will come. This last storm that we had, I was away, so I missed the excitement. So glad I did. But when I came back, I drove through town and I saw that there were trees uprooted, their very root pulled out of the ground. I said, it's not a very good root system. How many saw? There's about four or five trees that actually pulled the sidewalk up and fell over. I said, that's not a very good root system. And I'm afraid with the storms coming that we're going to see some that have claimed to be Christian, they're going to fall. But we are rooted in Christ. No fear of falling because our roots run deep in God. Then he says, not only rooted, but built up. How? Read the word. No excuses. Get in the Word of God and stay there. If you're not following the reading program, read. Stay in the Word. That is our comfort and our strength. Pray in the Spirit. Man, if you ever needed to pray in the Spirit, why? You say, Pastor Rick, why? Because in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says to pray, he who prays in the Spirit edifies himself. Build yourself up in the Lord. Built up to give constant increase in Christian knowledge and in a life conformed to that knowledge. And then Paul says, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Here's where we need to believe God for abundance. He is the God of plenty. In a world that's going crazy, God is pouring out His Spirit upon us. At the same time that you read in Thessalonians and in Timothy, in the end times, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, unkind, unforgiving, blasphemous. Come on, somebody. At the same time that happens, there's good news. God said, I will pour my Spirit on all flesh. And then we're supposed to thank God. Boy, that's hard sometimes. Anybody with me? Thanking Him before His... I've been thanking Him for revival. I ain't seen revival yet, but I keep thanking Him because I know it's coming. Through philosophy. Siri told me philosophy is the study of the fundamental nature of knowledge, reality, and existence, especially when considered as an academic discipline. Philosophy is what got us where we are. Philosophy is what tells educated people, PhDs, are telling me that there's 62 genders. How is that even possible? My mind doesn't think like that. You got to be perverted just to think of that. 62 genders. That's by the Indiana State Board of Education. Read it with my own two eyes. Come on, somebody. Just read where a movie actress star said her four-year-old boy came to her and said, I'm a girl, so she's raising the boy as a girl at 4 years old. I mean, you know, we have spirits occupying people at 4 years of age. When a four-year-old could come and say, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl, how many know that's perversion? It's philosophy that doesn't work. It's philosophy that God... It's the same thing that happened in the garden when Satan said to Eve, has God truly said? For in the day you eat of it, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. This is an age of enlightenment, all right. It's a dead-end road that Satan leads us to when we buy the lie that the tree of knowledge is okay at any point. It is not. Things like, I can do this and He will understand. God and I have an understanding. Let me tell you, friend, you are being led astray. There's not a special place for just you. You have to obey just like everybody else. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, He must be talking to you. I don't need to follow the rules. Grace allows for sin. And after all, I must sin because I'm a sinner, saved by grace. The philosophical approach then was every bit as strong as it is today. The Greek influence in Colossae, believers were relying on spurious reports on the knowledge of the gods. The Greek gods. We're facing the same thing. Postmodern culture no longer needs the moorings of the Ten Commandments. Situational ethics invaded us in the 80s till early 2000s. Just enough to change two generations. Older and younger generation together. Before, just at the beginning of the 80s till about 2010, it infiltrated us to where politically correct became... It used to be made fun of, now it's the order of the day. You don't believe me? Right now the Equality Act is this close to being passed. And if it's passed, you talk about freedoms being taken away. We won't be able to talk about alternate lifestyles or abortion or anything else. It will be against the law, a felony offense. Come on. Beware lest anybody deceive you through philosophy and empty deceit Empty deceit is concealing or misrepresenting the truth. And I've said it, I'll say it again, I'll say it till I go to my grave. The presence of truth is not the absence of love. The presence of truth, you've got to speak the truth. Beware, Paul says. Expertly crafted lies, empty deceit. According, he says, to the tradition and basic principles of the world. But you, my friend, have victory in Christ. We have victory in Christ. Verse 9 and 10, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Yes. Don't be looking for something added to you. You've already got all you need. Turn to somebody and say, I'm already done. You are. God has given you everything you need. Watch what Colossians 1:19. And it's a theme that reoccurs. We're going to see through the whole letter of Colossae. For it has pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. And where is he? He lives in me. Colossians 2:3. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Where does he live? In me. 1 John 14:10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Where does Jesus live? In us. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. The power of Christ is ours by faith. Paul encourages the Colossae church. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Christ. And he is in you because you are complete in him. The power of Christ is ours by faith. He lives in us and intends to move through us. There is a finality of being in Christ. In Christ we have need of nothing. Paul says, this world has nothing to give me. For I have been crucified to the world and it to me. Come on, someone. We've got to be free from those things. Why? Because Christ has done all for us. I am complete in Jesus. In Christ we have all power and authority. You need to believe when you're praying. I'm starting to believe my son is going to recommit his life to Christ. God showed me some things and I'm not begging anymore. I'm calling it as it is. As it is. Why? Because I have the authority to. Come on, someone. When we pray, we need to pray that thing for our loved ones and for, how many are praying for family members? Man. Look at the hands. Look around. Keep your hands up. Everybody in here is praying for unsaved or backslidden family members. Start calling them in the kingdom. Don't beg God for... God said he'll never leave forsake, especially if they prayed the prayer. God is still there. I'm calling things as not as they were. Both my children and my grandchildren serving God. Amen. In Jesus' name. Why? Because I'm complete in him. Father, I thank you for your promises. Today, I thank you for your promises that are yes and amen in you. I thank you, God, that I don't care what the world says. I don't care what anybody says, God. I'm going to stand on your word. And Father, even as you encouraged us in this letter, Father, encourage our hearts that we would not walk out of this place like we came in. Lord, that doubt and unbelief would leave. Lord, we're not asking you to come from a far place to show us you live in us. Lord, you're not, you don't got something to hold back till we get older, until we get wiser. But God, you've given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. God, help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear what you've given us in the toolbox of our spirit. Everything that we need, God. To live life of success. And we do pray, God. I pray with everyone that had their hand up for our loved ones, God, that they would see our commitment to you. Yes. And that, Lord, that they would see that there is a life that they can live, God, that they would give up the pursuit of knowledge from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and embrace you once again, Jesus. We call those things that are not as though they were, and we release our faith towards that end. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.